booster for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Well, good morning. Good morning. It is a rough morning commute-wise. If you're just starting out, please be careful. We're going to tell you everything you need to know weather and traffic-wise. So keep it tuned in and turned up. This is the WABC Early News. Juliet Huddy is off this week. She's on vacation in Italy. I'm Frank Morano. I'm going to attempt to hold down the fort, and we'll begin with the top five at five.
This is the top five at five.
Both New York and New Jersey governors have declared a state of emergency in anticipation of a rare fall nor'easter that's expected to slam the region with heavy rain and strong winds starting this morning. With wild weather lasting through Tuesday and into Wednesday, Governor Kathy Hochul said in a statement she declared the emergency I'm being choked by Sid Rosenberg and hugged, declaring the emergency state to ensure we can provide the necessary resources to respond to this storm and protect lives and property in regions where the forecast is calling for significant rainfall. Hochul is encouraging New Yorkers to prepare now for rough weather and urged commuters to take precaution with heavy rainfall expected over the course of the day today and into Wednesday. The names of the jurors in the Derek Chauvin trial will soon come to light. The former Minneapolis police officer was convicted in April for the murder of George Floyd. Judge Peter Cahill announced Monday that he'll make public the names of the 15 jurors and alternates who sat in the courtroom next week. Additionally, the written questionnaires of all 109 potential jurors who were formally evaluated will also be released. The list will be revealed on November 1st. President Biden brought his push for infrastructure to New Jersey yesterday, touting a recently jump-started $2 billion project to replace a century-old rail bridge that has been a regular source of train delays for the region and beyond. The Portal Bridge over the Hackensack River, which connects New Jersey to New York and points north and south, was built during the Taft administration and was considered something state-of-the-art at the time. Biden said now it's been called something different, a choke point, a bottleneck, an Achilles heel of the entire Northeast Corridor. For riders, the approach to the Portal Bridge often comes with a crossing of fingers, maybe a prayer that things go smoothly. Democratic New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy said that before Biden's remarks. A Hollywood movie is paused indefinitely after last week's deadly shooting on a set in New Mexico. Crew members were told that in an email and returned to pick up their belongings yesterday. Actor Alec Baldwin fired a prop gun during rehearsal on the set of the Western Rust, killing the cinematographer. The assistant director who handed him the gun said it was safe. He was reportedly fired from a job 2 years ago for something similar that injured a worker. Producers expressed their sadness and said they were supporting the director. He was shot in the shoulder but is doing better. An update on the investigation is expected tomorrow. And finally, workers at a group of Staten Island, New York Amazon warehouses want to unionize. The Amazon Labor Union is run by Chris Smalls, a former employee fired after organizing a protest over a lack of hazard pay and protective gear in the early days of the pandemic. The group is filing a petition with the National Labor Relations Board in Brooklyn. It requires at least 30% of workers across the four warehouses to sign authorization cards to be eligible for an NLRB election. And that is your top five at five. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we will let you hear what's happening in the world of sports with Matt Sapienza. In 2 minutes, we'll have traffic with Joe Nolan, and we'll have weather with the legendary weatherman Lloyd Lindsey Young. But first, let me tell you about what's trending around the nation and the world. A former spokesperson for Liberty University is suing the Evangelical Virginia School after being fired, alleging in a lawsuit filed yesterday that his termination came in retaliation for voicing concerns that sexual misconduct accusations were mishandled. Scott Lamb, a vice president level executive at the school, where he was hired in 2018, said in an interview with the Associated Press that he pushed for answers about what was being done to investigate claims raised in a lawsuit over the summer by 12 women and was continually dissatisfied. The women's lawsuit, which is still ongoing, alleged the school had a pattern of mishandling cases of sexual assault and harassment and had fostered an unsafe campus environment. And Facebook, the company, is losing control of Facebook, the product, not to mention the last shreds of its carefully crafted decade-long image as a benevolent company just wanting to connect the world. Thousands of pages of internal documents provided to Congress by a former employee depict an internally conflicted company where data on the harms it causes is abundant, but solutions, much less the will to act on them, are halting at best. The crisis exposed by the documents shows how Facebook, despite its regularly avowed good intentions, appears to have slow-walked or sidelined efforts to address real harms the social network has magnified and sometimes even created. They reveal numerous instances where researchers and rank-and-file workers uncovered deep-seated problems that the company then overlooked or ignored. Final responsibility for this state of affairs rests with CEO Mark Zuckerberg, who holds what one former employee described as dictatorial power over a corporation that collects data on and provides free services to roughly 3 billion people around the world. Providing incredibly accurate weather services for decades is somebody that we're lucky enough to have guide us through this nor'easter today, the great Lloyd Lindsay Young. Hello, Lloyd.
Hello, Queens. Good morning, everybody. Tuesday morning, I should say, and we've got some serious weather to deal with here in the tri-state area. A flash flood watch is in effect through midnight tonight. We're talking nor'easter, ladies and gentlemen. High winds and heavy rain. A deep low pressure system is formed off the coast of South Jersey, moving slowly northeast like nor'easters do. It's kind of early in the season to get this. No, we don't have to worry about snow, but rain will be the big deal. Heavy rain is my forecast today and tonight. Gusty winds 25 to 40 miles an hour. How much rain? Well, we could be looking at anywhere from 4 to 8 inches in the metropolitan area. So moderate flooding expected. Be extra careful out there on those roadways. And remember, if you see a barricade, turn around, don't drown. Yeah, serious stuff. Flash flood watch. Be extra careful out there through tonight. Now, by Wednesday, tomorrow, things will be a lot better in the tri-state area. However, there's more rain on the horizon for Friday and Saturday, but not as serious. Lloyd Lindsay Young, happy to be part of the WABC Morning Weather.
Thank you, Lloyd. And by the way, we're keeping an eye on the mayor's race. There's going to be the second and final debate between Curtis Sliwa and Eric Adams tonight. That airs on Channel 7, WABC-TV, no affiliation with this radio station. And from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., there's going to be a virtual meeting on congestion pricing, the controversial proposal to charge drivers for driving into Manhattan. If that's something you want to participate in between 6 p.m. and 8 p.m., either as a viewer or somebody offering testimony, you can go to mta.info. Now, some other headlines we're watching. Brian Laundrie's family is grieving together at an unknown location in Florida a day after the 23-year-old's father told news reporters, "Let me grieve." Last week, remains found at the Carlton Reserve in Sarasota County were confirmed to be those of Brian. His remains were cremated and no funeral service will be held for him, the family's lawyer has said. Gabby Petito's grandmother, Mary Wickman, tweeted yesterday about a memorial the family held for Gabby Sunday night. Family and friends lit up the sky for Gabby in a beautiful memorial. Her six-year-old cousin Connor sent her a beautiful message, "Love you forever." Northport Police Public Information Officer Josh Taylor disclosed some more information yesterday into the week that Brian Laundrie went missing and where efforts go from here. Taylor told Fox News Digital that the notebook found near Laundrie's remains could be salvageable. And the House committee investigating the January 6th riot at the Capitol deferred its requests for several dozens of pages of records from former President Trump's administration at the White House's urging. But President Biden again rejected the former president's invocation of executive privilege on hundreds of additional pages. In a letter to the National Archives and Records Administration, Biden counsel Dana Remus repeated that the president has determined, meaning President Biden, that an assertion of executive privilege is not in the best interests of the United States and therefore is not justified. After a series of recent incidents involving guns in school, Mayor Bill de Blasio said yesterday that New York City will increase the number of random metal detectors at some public schools. We want to make sure in the tough moments we've gone through in the last year and a half that we're protecting our kids, protecting our schools. We know there's some schools where there's been some real issues lately, and we need to make sure we're adding extra protection to make sure there's never violence, never any incident where a child is harmed. The city saw multiple incidents last week of a student bringing a gun onto campus. On Wednesday, a 17-year-old showed his weapon off to a fellow student at a Queens high school, while a 14-year-old flaunted a pink handgun to classmates at their Bronx school on Thursday. Well, a suspect is in custody after two people were killed and four injured, including a police officer, in a shooting at a shopping mall on Monday in Boise, Idaho. At a news conference, authorities said officers exchanged gunfire with the suspect. Police last night said in a news release that the suspect was in critical condition at a hospital and that the officer who was hurt had been treated and released. Police haven't released any other information about the victims, officer, or the suspect. The mall had been secured by last night, and police said it would remain closed as the investigation continues. And a man is under arrest for allegedly throwing paint on a George Floyd statue just days after it was unveiled in Union Square Park earlier this month. The NYPD announced the arrest of Micah Beals of Manhattan, who was charged early yesterday with second-degree criminal mischief. The 10-foot tall statue of Floyd was found covered in paint on October 3rd. The monument is part of the Seeing Justice installation, which also features busts of Breonna Taylor and late Congressman John Lewis. Police soon after released surveillance video showing a person riding a skateboard and carrying a paint can, who then throws gray paint on the statue. Additional footage released a week later showed the suspect entering the F Line's 14th Street subway station. More headlines in just a bit. At 5:15, let's get a look at sports with Matt Sapienza.
Hey, Frank, and good morning, everybody. Let's get a check on the sports. Kevin Durant scored 25 points, and the Brooklyn Nets bounced back from a poor finish a day earlier with a blistering start that sent them to a 104-90 victory over the Washington Wizards last night. Patty Mills made 5 3-pointers and added 21 points off the bench, while James Harden finished with 14 points, 9 assists, and 6 rebounds. The Nets were dominated in the second half of a 111-95 loss to Charlotte on Sunday in their home opener, which featured protests by fans over the vaccine mandate that has kept Kyrie Irving from playing for Brooklyn. They overcame poor three-point shooting nights from Harden and Joe Harris by holding Washington below 35% shooting. To the ice now, Andrew Mangiapane scored twice, and the Calgary Flames beat the New York Rangers 5-1 last night for their third straight win. Blake Coleman and Mikael Backlund each had a goal and an assist, and Christopher Tanev also scored for Calgary. Johnny Gaudreau got his 7th assist of the season, and Jacob Markstrom stopped 28 shots to improve 7-2-1 in his career against New York. Dryden Hunt also scored for the Rangers, who had won 4 straight, all on the road. Igor Shesterkin, making his 5th start, finished with 32 saves. And that's your sports at 15 and 45. More to come along then. I'm Matt Sapienza. That's WABC Sports.
Thank you, Matt. We'll hear from Matt again a little later. If you want to stay in touch with me and bring any news to my attention that that we're talking about, or you have a different perspective on it, just email me, frank.morano@wabcradio.com. You can also find me on Twitter, @FrankMorano. That's Frank, M-O-R-A-N-O. To tell you what you can expect for the rest of the morning and the rest of the day, here is legendary weatherman Lloyd Lindsay Young.
Hello, Teterboro. Good morning, everybody. Lloyd Lindsay Young with your WABC morning weather. Serious stuff going on in the tri-state area. Be extra careful. Heavy rain on Doppler radar all over the metro area. We have a nor'easter that's developed. Flash flood watch will continue in effect through midnight tonight. Now, we're talking copious amounts of precipitation. 4 to 8 inches look very likely by midnight tonight. This storm, even though it's kind of early in the year for a nor'easter, definitely will be very uncomfortable at the very least. So be extra careful, especially for flooded roadways. Expect a little bit of beach erosion. So moderate flooding is possible here in the tri-state area, improving tomorrow. As a matter of fact, Wednesday and Thursday look pretty good. Temperatures, not a big concern. We'll be right around 60 degrees, but of course, with the rain and wind, it's going to feel a lot colder, so dress appropriately. Lloyd Lindsay Young with your WABC morning weather.
And now, it's Huddy's History Hit.
Well, it's not Huddy's History Hit, but it is Frank's History Hit. On this day in 1861, America said goodbye to the Pony Express. On October 26th, 1861, San Francisco was in direct contact with New York City. On that day, the Pony Express was officially terminated. But it wasn't until November that the last letters completed their journey over that route. Most of the original trail has been obliterated either by time or human activities. Along many segments, the trail's actual route and exact length are matters of conjecture. In the western states, the majority of the trail has been converted over the years to double-track dirt roads. Short, pristine segments believed to be traces of the original trail can be seen only in Utah and California. However, approximately 120 historic sites may eventually be available to the public, including 50 existing Pony Express stations or station ruins. That's what happened today in 1861. Also, on this day in history, I would be remiss if I didn't mention that it was today in 1951 that Rocky Marciano beat Joe Louis to win the World Heavyweight Boxing Championship, ushering in a historic era in heavyweight boxing. And on this day, 30 years ago, Washington, D.C. Mayor Marion Barry was sentenced to 6 months in jail and fined $5,000 following his conviction on drug charges. Finally, in 2001, on this day, President George W. Bush signed into law the USA Patriot Act. This allowed different government agencies to use wiretaps, record searches, and surveillance, as something that they are certainly still making broad use of to this day. All right. Today's newsmaker is attorney and Harvard law professor Alan Dershowitz. Alan Dershowitz was on with Rita Cosby last night talking about the legal implications for this Alec Baldwin shooting. If you didn't get to hear the interview, you can hear the whole thing at WABCradio.com. But here are some of the highlights of what Alan Dershowitz had to tell Rita Cosby.
First, we have to begin with the constitutional presumption of innocence. We can speculate all we want, but it has to turn on the evidence, and everybody's presumed innocence until there is proof beyond a reasonable doubt of guilt. Having said that, there probably was a crime committed here. There should never be a gun, a real operative gun on a set. You know, I was the lawyer back in the day when Twilight Zone, do you remember the case where Vic Morrow had his decapitated as a result of a helicopter? And I was one of the lawyers in the Crook case where Brandon Lee. So this is something I know a lot about, unfortunately, and I had assumed that after the base, nobody would ever allow a real gun on a set. You have a fake gun and you have CGI. You have, you know, computer generated images. That's the way it should be done. It's supposed to be done. So there was a crime committed here. I'm absolutely convinced of that. There are now some people saying that there were four people who was not fired with a bullet in it. And among those four people, according to some, was the actor himself, Alec Baldwin. There are supposed to be four people, the director, the person who is in charge of props, the person who's in charge of guns especially, and then the last person makes sure that before they fire lethally at somebody that there's no bullet in the gun. We don't know enough here. We don't know whether there was a bullet. Remember in the Brandon Lee case, there wasn't a bullet. There was a shard, a little shard left over from a previous firing. So, you know, there was a crime committed. I'm convinced of that. That doesn't mean that anybody will actually be successfully prosecuted, because you have to be able to prove that a specific person both had the actus reus, that is, he did the act, and the mens rea, the intention. The intention could just be negligence or gross negligence or great negligence or some other form of negligence, but there has to be culpability in itself. The assistant director yelled cold gun, and he didn't do sufficient inspection to determine that the gun was, in fact, cold. He'd be culpable. But if, in fact, the actor is also supposed to check before firing the gun, there could be joint culpability, mutual culpability. You could find numerous people or no people. We just don't know enough. So we have to keep in mind, number one, the presumption of innocence. Number two, the need for investigation. There must be a very thorough investigation, not only to determine who is guilty, but to determine that this never, ever happens again. Whatever you may think about the Second Amendment doesn't apply to movie sets. There is no right to have a gun on a movie set, period. End of the sentence. There never should be a gun on a movie set. There never should be a bullet on a movie set. It should be CGI, computerized generated image. And if it doesn't look realistic, too bad. You don't put realism in front of life. Likelihood of a crime against Alec Baldwin is fairly low. It's there. And he should be cooperating fully. His lawyer should be cooperating fully. And he should be expecting that the evidence hopefully will point in a way away from him. You know, he's going to defend on the ground. I'm just an actor and a producer, and they handed me a gun and they said cold gun, and that should be enough. And then others will say, no, that's not enough. Anybody who handles the gun has some responsibility to make sure that the gun does not have a live round in it.
That was Alan Dershowitz. You can hear the entire interview at WABCRadio.com, as well as the great show that Rita Cosby does. Early voting continuing today in New York, starting at 10 a.m. today. Yesterday it began at 7 a.m. Today it starts at 10. So if you're looking to vote today, polls open at 10. Call 311 or go to vote.nyc for more information.
It's the WABC Early News Entertainment.
Weeks after his special, The Closer, was criticized for its jokes aimed at transgender people, Dave Chappelle has addressed the controversy.
I want everyone in this audience to know that even though the media frames this, that it's me versus that community, that it's not what it is. Do not blame the LGBTQ community for any of this. This has nothing to do with them. It's about corporate interests and what I can say and what I cannot say.
He'll meet with the transgender community that takes issue with his jokes about trans people. He told audiences at a gig in Nashville on Sunday, but it's not bending to anybody's demands, he said in videos posted to his verified Instagram account. And Minnesota's congressional delegation on Monday is introducing a resolution to posthumously award the Congressional Gold Medal to pop superstar Prince, citing his indelible mark on Minnesota and American culture. The medal is one of the nation's highest civilian honors, and past recipients include George Washington, Rosa Parks, Mother Teresa, and the Dalai Lama. All right, coming up, it looks like they have identified another one of John Wayne Gacy's victims. I'll tell you who. In business, prices are going up, 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 and up. What does that mean for the stock market? I'll tell you. We'll also have our top five at 5:30, as well as a host of other stories that you're going to be talking about all day. This is the WABC Early News.
Entertaining and informative. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
All right, welcome to the WABC Early News. It's 5:31. There is a great deal of news happening around the country and around the world. And as is the case, we will go spanning the world with...
It's the top five at 5:30.
The first COVID vaccine for younger kids could be ready to go next week. An FDA advisory board meets today on whether to recommend Pfizer shots for 5 to 11-year-olds. The full FDA will then vote, and the CDC expects to have its decision by next Wednesday. Facebook is changing its focus. CEO Mark Zuckerberg says the priority now is serving young adults. He admits that will take years, but points out users will see changes to Instagram's highlight reels a lot faster. He gave the update during a call with investors. Police officers making the move to Florida are in for a big signing bonus. The governor plans to lure them with an extra $5,000. The offer is good for any cop who packs up but the recruitment is aimed at those wanting to avoid COVID vaccine mandates. A new report says greenhouse gas rates set a new record last year. This is despite a drop in the new emissions due to people staying home when the pandemic began. World leaders gather next week for an international climate change conference. And SpaceX is a step closer to blasting off more astronauts. Three NASA astronauts and one from the European Space Agency make up the SpaceX Crew 3, the SpaceX cruise mission set to launch Sunday morning from Kennedy Space Center. The flight readiness review wrapped yesterday, and the crew of three men and one woman is set to arrive at Cape Canaveral today. Launch time is set for 2:21 in the morning, and the crew should reach the International Space Station early on the morning of Monday, November 1st. And that is your top five at 5:30. Well, there are a number of other... We're going to bring you the Jet Set Juliet Travel Report with Eric Hastings in just a bit. I'll also tell you what's happening in the world of business. But first, Ohio printed out 35,000 new license plates before realizing a banner depicted on the plate was attached to the wrong end of the Wright brothers' historic first plane, the Wright Flyer. State officials acknowledged the error immediately after the new plates were unveiled on Thursday, releasing a photo of the corrected plate. But a state spokesperson said on Friday that 35,000 plates were already printed. We will recycle 35,000 plates that had been printed. It's too early to know about if there are any additional costs. The new license plate illustrates both the rural and urban parts of Ohio with a banner that reads Birthplace of Aviation draped across the horizon. And a Colorado hiker who had wandered off the trail and got lost ignored repeated phone calls from rescuers because the hiker didn't recognize the number, officials said. The person started hiking Mount Elbert from the South Trailhead on October 18th around 9 a.m. Lake County Search and Rescue said the hiker didn't return by evening, so five LCSAR, Lake County Search and Rescue, members searched for the hiker until early the next morning, but they were unsuccessful. The missing hiker finally showed up at their place of lodging around 9:30 a.m., and the search was called off. Bearing down on hugely popular social media platforms and their impact on children, the leaders of a Senate panel have called executives from YouTube, TikTok, and Snapchat to face questions on what their companies are doing to ensure young users' safety. The Senate Commerce Subcommittee on Consumer Protection is fresh off a highly charged beating, excuse me, of a highly charged hearing with a former Facebook data scientist who laid out internal company research showing that the company's Instagram photo sharing service appears to seriously harm some young teens. You can bet this is not the last we're going to be hearing about this situation. And there are even international hearings with the Facebook whistleblower Frances Haugen speaking with the UK Parliament today. And a Houston area furniture store chain owner is banking on the Astros winning the World Series. Forbes reporting gallery furniture owner Jim Mattress Mac McGingville has put around $3.25 million on a Houston championship. And if they win, he would receive roughly $35 million, $35,600,000 to be precise. It's tied to a promotion where Mattress Mac lets customers who spend over $3,000 on a mattress to get their money back if the Astros win it all. The bets are split across four different sports books, but one bet is for $2 million. That bet alone would pay out $22 million if it hits, which the Action Network says would be the largest single bet payout in American history. The Astros face the Braves in this year's World Series, with Game 1 set for tonight. It's currently 57 degrees. To get a full picture of what you're in store for weather-wise, particularly with this nor'easter, let's check in with Lloyd Lindsay-Young. Hello, Lloyd.
Hello, Short Hills, New Jersey. Good morning, everybody. Lloyd Lindsay-Young with your WABC morning weather. We're talking serious business here. Flash flood watch in effect for the entire metropolitan area till midnight tonight. We have a nor'easter that's cooking off the coast of central New Jersey, slowly moving northeast towards Long Island and further northeast into the Canadian Maritimes. Therefore, northeasterly wind gusts 30 to 40 miles an hour. Heavy rain all over the tri-state area, 4 to 8 inches likely by midnight tonight. So be extra careful out there on the roadways, especially. Now, improving conditions are likely tomorrow and Thursday. Temperatures are not a big worry. We'll be right around 60 degrees for a high, low 50s for a minimum. Now, more rain is on the horizon for Friday and Saturday, but not as serious as what's going to happen in the next 17 or 18 hours. Please be extra careful out there. Again, a flash flood watch is in effect. Lloyd Lindsay-Young with your WABC morning weather.
Biz Buzz.
Thank you, Lloyd. The opening bell rings this morning after stocks ended the day in the black on Wall Street. At the closing bell, the Dow Jones gained 64 points, the S&P 500 rose by 21, and the NASDAQ jumped by 136. Home prices lead off today's economic reports. The Case-Shiller Home Price Index is due at 9 a.m. Eastern, and the U.S. House Price Index will be out at 10. Also at 10 Eastern, new home sales for September. Housing industry analysts forecast a 1% rise in sales over August to an annual rate of 760,000. There's growing concern among consumers that the holiday season could be impacted by a perfect storm of increased demand and lack of supply. Nearly every item that makes up a traditional Thanksgiving meal could cost more this year. Market analysts say turkey is on track to break the price per pound record set in 2015. And it's not just the soaring price of food. The nation's supply chain is struggling. We are seeing a lot of fear of empty shelves and slow delivery times ahead of Christmas. Tesla is joining an exclusive club on Wall Street. This comes as it hits the $1 trillion market cap number. The milestone happened shortly after it was revealed that the rental company Hertz will order 100,000 Teslas by the end of next year. Tesla Model 3s will be available starting early next month in major markets across the U.S. And Jeff Bezos' space company Blue Origin has plans for a private space station. It's called Orbital Reef and will be built in partnership with other space companies. Orbital Reef is expected to be deployed between 2025 and 2030. The station is described as being habitable for people up to 10 for up to 10 people and will be used as a mixed-use business park. That's in addition to being able to host space tourists. And Facebook is out with its latest quarterly earnings. The social media giant missed revenue expectations, earning almost exactly $29 billion. However, earnings per share toppled expectations. Daily active users met expectations as that number came out to $1.9 billion. That's what's happening in the world of business. And while Jet Set Juliet is away, we still have the Jet Set Juliet Travel Report. Today, we will be hearing from the one and only former WABC travel show producer and talk show host, Eric Hastings. These days, he is the managing editor of Beyond Your Backyard, which is an Emmy Award-winning show that airs on PBS. What do you have for us today, Eric?
Thank you, Frank, for that gracious and lovely intro, although you forgot to mention dashingly attractive, but I'm over it. Big news and very good news for New York City this morning. The White House has just released its initial outline of its new system for foreign nationals traveling to the United States, which is scheduled to take effect on November 8th. Now, the upcoming policy change was first announced in late September, although no specific details were given then. But just the other day, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention issued official orders for implementing the Biden administration's new travel policy to safely regulate and facilitate international travel in a pandemic era. The move will lift the current out-and-out bans on visitors from 33 countries, instead welcoming only fully vaccinated visitors from those areas. I mention this because one of the most visited cities by foreign nationals is, you guessed it, New York City. Now, it may be a very soggy Tuesday here in the tri-state. Incidentally, Soggy Tuesday was the name of my band back in college, but that's for another day. Elon Musk is adding a few more coins to his pocket. The car rental company Hertz is ordering 100,000 electric vehicles from Tesla. Hertz says it's buying the Tesla Model 3 small cars by the end of 2022. It also will set up its own electric vehicle charging network. No price was given for the order, but according to my calculations, it's got to be around $4 billion because each Model 3 has a base price of about $40,000. In an interview with the Associated Press, interim CEO Mark Fields wouldn't say how much Hertz is spending, but he did say the company has the capital and a healthy balance sheet after emerging from bankruptcy protection in June. The Teslas are arriving at Hertz sites already and should be available for rental starting in November. Well, lovers of cozy winter fun can embrace the winter wonderland that is, you guessed it, Reno, Tahoe, where good eats and adventure collide at the epicenter of the largest concentration of ski resorts in North America. Those who want to ski can spend a day hitting the Tahoe slopes at nearby Mount Rose Ski Resort, which boasts 50-plus trails, backwoods access, terrain parks, and the highest elevation in Tahoe for some of the best skiing out west. And don't forget to visit downtown Reno to experience a more creative side of the destination. Take a walk to discover the vibrant street art and public art sculptures from Burning Man scattered throughout the city. With an ever-growing, thirst-quenching craft beer scene, travelers should grab a brew at one of a dozen local breweries. The Depot is one of my personal favorites, an old rail station turned brewery distillery, and you can grab a bite at the inventive Midtown Eats. Stay at the dog-friendly Renaissance Reno downtown, overlooking the Truckee River that runs right through the electric downtown district of the city. The Lux Hotel is also a perfect hangout spot with The Shore, a casual Mediterranean restaurant with an outdoor patio and a modern fireplace for extra warmth during the winter. Speaking of winter, if you haven't already booked your holiday plans, please do so immediately. The travel industry and its suppliers of travel products, such as air, hotel, cruise, and car, are not back to normal yet, and the sooner you book those arrangements, the better for you. As a matter of fact, now is the time to finalize your spring break plans and get those arrangements buttoned up in the next 30 days. If those plans include international travel, then please take a moment to review the current health and safety protocols. Longer than usual security lines have been reported due to staffing shortages. Providing proof of a negative COVID test may also be needed within 3 days of your departure. Mask wearing on the flight and proof of a negative COVID test before you'll be admitted back to the United States have all become a norm. It seems like a lot of new requirements, but I've gone through it many times and I have emerged just fine. Incidentally, tomorrow I'll share with you my counterintuitive airplane seat assignment travel hack. For those and other get out and explore this great big world of ours, information can be found on my YouTube channel and at ericthetravelguy.com. For the Jet Set Juliet Travel Report, I'm Eric Hastings.
Thank you, Eric. That is Eric Hastings, managing editor and host of Beyond Your Backyard and an Emmy Award winning, which is an Emmy Award winning nationally syndicated series on PBS. You can learn more about it by going to Eric. That's Eric with a K. I am sitting across from someone that is living proof that Botox can work. Life's daily stresses can certainly take a toll on your appearance, and that's the ethos over at Dolce Aesthetics, where they provide a wide range of services, including non-invasive, non-surgical treatments from Botox to fillers, cellulite reduction to laser hair removal. And Sid, you've taken advantage.
I go there twice now. Jen has become a dear friend of mine. I know she knows Juliet Frank for many, many years, but Jen and I have gotten very close. Danielle's been there. She's also friends with Dolores. So I've been there now twice, and she's great. In fact, I'm going back in 2 weeks.
Oh.
I think we text each other almost every day. She's now become a huge fan of Frank Morano and Bernie Hinson.
Oh, that's nice.
Never heard of us a couple of weeks ago.
I'll take it, believe me. Now, the point is, there's a lot of choices of where you can go to get Botox. You don't want to make the wrong choice. It's a matter of choosing the procedures that are right for you, that'll make you look good, and that are safe. And Dolce Aesthetics New York has locations in Howard Beach, Glendale, Brooklyn, and now even in Oceanside out in Long Island. It gives you the convenience and the accessibility to achieve relaxation and self-care without the hassle. If you're ready to experience prime results, listen to me, text the word Dolce, D-O-L-C-E, to 95000 for 10% off your next treatment. Again, text the word Dolce, D-O-L-C-E, to 95000 for 10% off your next treatment. You can also visit them at DolceAestheticsNewYork.com. That's DolceAestheticsNY.com. And one day, you too might look as good as Sid Rosenberg. All right. Sid says there's no chance, but, you know, I might disagree. All right. Before we get to Sid, there's a couple of other stories that we're keeping an eye on. Wisconsin's election managers can expect even more questions from lawmakers in Madison. The state Senate yesterday announced it'll begin an investigation into last year's vote in the coming weeks. Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu said the problems unearthed by last week's election audit are driving the new investigation. LeMahieu said the Senate investigation will look at whether election laws were violated and what the future could be for the Wisconsin Elections Commission. There are already two open elections investigations in the state assembly. And we all remember the story of John Wayne Gacy. And now, a North Carolina man is being identified as one of several people murdered in the 70s by the notorious serial killer. Authorities say the body of Francis Wayne Alexander, who was found in the crawl space of Gacy's Illinois home, was victim number 5 out of 33 young men and boys killed between 1972 and 1978. 5 of Gacy's victims still remain unidentified to this day. Now it is time to get a look at what you're in store for the next 4 hours.
Spectacular!
77 WABC Early News presents It's Sid.
Hey now.
Sid,
I'm a big
Rosenberg.
John Wayne Gacy fan, by the way.
No, you're not.
Oh, I am.
The killer clown.
I watch the ID channel about 7 hours a day, and I am all in with these serial killers. Now, I'm bored of Ted Bundy, got to be honest. Too much on him. Little bored of Jeffrey Dahmer, too. But John Wayne Gacy, he interests me. Now, the one that I find the most terrifying was the BTK killer.
Oh.
That guy was like, he went to church every Sunday. He was like a postman. He looked like everybody's uncle. and he was out there bounding, tying, and killing people. That guy, Dennis Rader, I believe his real name is, he had me more interested than any serial killer ever. But John Wayne Gacy, he's a pretty good one.
I don't know. I know you watch Investigation Discovery. Yeah. I don't know if you read any of these books.
I never read books.
You never read books at all. Well, even about true crime
and
stuff. I don't
have time to read a book.
Well, if people are interested in serial killers, they should check out Maureen Callahan's book, American Predator.
Yeah.
Maureen Callahan, you can read her in the Post.
Love her.
It is an incredible story about one of the most prolific serial killers in history and the hunt for the most meticulous serial killer of the 21st century.
Who was it?
His name was Israel.
Don't know him.
Well,
so he couldn't have been that big.
No, I'm telling you.
I that's fine, but you got to know who the guy is. No, I mean, he may have been the most prolific, but...
You got to read this book.
I'm going to read the book.
Yeah, I have it. I'll end it.
Yeah, here I am. I'm such an idiot. I'm like, I don't read books, and yet I'm writing my own book, which I expect you all to read. So that's how stupid I am.
What's coming up on the Bernie and Sid show today? Now, Bernie's off.
Bernie's off. It turns out he's got a doctor's appointment. So we're going to miss Bernie, but it's always a great show. We've got five great guests today. We're going to start with Janice Dean, meteorologist, Fox News, because I believe in local. The less Biden, the better. And we've got a nor'easter on store here right after Hurricane Ida. A lot of folks out there, they're not getting over Ida yet. They're going to have to deal with this stuff today. So we'll talk to Janice Dean coming up this morning. Miranda Devine, the wonderful columnist from the New York Post, she'll join us at 6:45 talking about Joe Biden and the mess that he's caused. We'll talk to the great Bo Deedle coming up at 7:40, great cop, and on the set of Gravesend yesterday. I'll be on the set tomorrow. I'm off tomorrow. Then at 8:40, the legend himself, I love this guy, Christopher Mad Dog Russo. Doggy. As we get set for World Series Game 1 tonight between the Braves and the Astros. So we'll talk to the New York radio legend Chris Mad Dog Russo today. And then at 9:25, a guy that joined you yesterday, the brilliant actor, great musician, about to perform for the first time ever solo in New York City, the very talented Dennis Quaid.
Oh, that's
on the morning show today.
That's going to be fun. I'm thinking of going to see him November 1st.
I would go.
It's only three blocks from here.
I'll go with you.
That'll be fun.
That would be
It'll
fun.
Be a good Frank and Sid bonding experience.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
So you got a big show. Janice Dean, Miranda Devine, Bo Deedle, Christopher Mad Dog Russo, and Dennis Quaid. That's an all-star lineup.
Absolutely. Whether you're into sports, weather, movies, music, cop issues, politics, that's a show and a half. For the next 4 hours, Sid Solo. Israel Keyes is that serial killer?
You know, I have heard his name.
Probably killed over 11 people.
That's not a lot, 11.
I know, but it was the manhunt for him, and the fact that it went over so many years that led it to be such a big deal.
I mean, even the Golden State guy was more prolific than that.
Yeah.
And they actually finally put that guy away like a couple of years ago.
That is the reason I don't give my DNA to any of these DNA testing websites. Before we go to traffic, Sid, I have to ask you about your opinion on Donald Trump Jr. is being criticized today. It's the front page of the Daily News. He's being criticized for selling merchandise taunting Alec Baldwin.
Mm.
Do you think that's inappropriate for Donald Jr. to do, or does Baldwin have it coming?
Both.
Both.
Absolutely both. Baldwin has it coming. Donald Trump Jr., like his father, is inappropriate. And quite frankly, that's why his dad was a good president, because those are the guys that get it done. So both in this case.
Scientists studying rubies in Greenland say they have found traces of life in a 2.5 billion year old sample. The sample contained graphite, which is a mineral made of pure carbon. The chemical signatures in the carbon suggest that it's a residue of early life. The age of the samples date back to a time single-celled life only existed as microorganisms and algae. Wow. Thank you for listening. Stay tuned for Sid Rosenberg Solo for the next 4 hours. All-star lineup of guests. My thanks especially to Molly Fichter and Matt Sapienza for helping me get through the last hour Juliet list. Juliet is a big part of this show, and Matt and Molly really were asked to go the extra mile today. So thank you. Bernie and Sid are, well, Sid is next for the next 4 hours. Be safe, everybody. Drive slowly. It's going to be rough weather. I'll see you tomorrow. Have a great day.